little bit.
What is the solution? To recognize
and took the nails for me.
This is Glorious Day, a program that grew from a vision.
A vision to support our brother and sister Christians.
And those who are still seeking Jesus.
By applying God's word to the everyday concerns and challenges that we all face today.
We are two local pastors who love Jesus.
And his people.
And he wants us to strengthen his disciples.
To get stronger, because God's promised revival is on the way. Well, hello. This is another production of Glorious Day, and my name is Pastor Barry Becchio.
And I'm David Frankur, his co-pastor at the Church of the Holy Spirit here in Palm City.
Amen. Amen. Hello, David.
Hey, good to see you again.
You too.
Gosh, we don't see each other enough. And
haven't seen you in minutes.
Minutes. But listen, we promised we'd have a second teaching on prayer.
Yes.
And in fact, we alluded to, or maybe more than alluded, actually came right out and used the word intimacy. Because right. Intimacy with God is something that Jesus makes clear that he wants his people to have with him, and certainly God the Father. And that's kind of a baseline relationship, is mm-hmm. intimacy with God. And it's often hard for us to do that, but he will help us. But that's the state of being that he wants us to enjoy mm-hmm. in prayer. Because prayer is the primary environment within which, spiritual environment, that we get into to approach God and to approach his love and his caring and his blessing. And today is also, in many churches, and our church is one, that we celebrate the day of Pentecost, which the day that the Holy Spirit came upon those disciples in that upper room. Barry.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yeah. And they became the church that day. Their church was actually born. Mm-hmm. So in talking about intimacy with God, and because today for many people is that day, that the day of Pentecost, it's very critical for all of our understandings of what it means to be a Christian. Now we're going to start talking about that. Now, very quickly, if you go to the book of Acts and you go to the first chapter, you will see that the first chapter really talks, kind of sets the stage for the second chapter, which is nice of chapters to do it that way, to talk about the coming of the Holy Spirit, mm-hmm. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, which is critical. But in the first chapter, and it's Luke who's writing Acts, he also wrote the Gospel of Luke, the Macedonian physician. He's writing to his friend Theophilus. He wants to give him a preamble about what he's going to be talking about in the rest of the book, but how critical it is to know about the coming of the Holy Spirit. And so he talks, the first chapter has to do first with his approach to the ascension of Jesus. Remember that Jesus, after 40 days of connecting with his disciples after his resurrection and really bringing them back to Jerusalem,
right.
Which is his intent, that they be all together. We're told there was 120 of them. And they gathered around Jesus in his resurrected body. He was about to go to the Father. He gave them some instructions. One of the things he says is, do not leave. This is chapter 1, verse 4. He says, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Now, they didn't completely understand this at that time.
No.
And the reason why is a lot of reasons. Jesus, of course, had spent much time teaching them, but keep in mind the state of mind that they were in. They had gone through Jesus' mock trial, his execution, the grief, and not just the grief of losing Jesus, but also the fear of the same thing happening to them.
That's right.
Because they followed Jesus. The Jewish leaders weren't too excited about that they were followers left behind. They didn't, so they may have thought that they would also end up like him. Not many of them did later, but not now.
True.
So they came back. They were tired. They were angry. They were afraid. I mean, think of how you would be if you'd gone through all of that.
Well, now we call it post-traumatic stress syndrome.
There's actually PTSD.
That's
we
right.
actually have an acronym for that. But back then they didn't, but they were going through the same thing.
That's right.
And so he gathered them together. He told them to pray. And we see then in the first chapter in verse 14, they did respond to Jesus's command. They all joined together constantly in prayer. This is verse 14. Along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. So the whole crew got back together in Jerusalem to pray, to be together. And we know they were led to be in an upper room.
Right.
We're told the doors were shut for fear of the Jews, the leaders of the Jews, not Jews in general.
Right.
But that they didn't want to be found out. And so it was in that place that these disciples gathered and prayed. Now we talk about, again, prayer and the intimacy with God. How does Pentecost, you know, how does Pentecost show us that? And so I'm going to ask my brother Barry over here to read from the first four verses of the book of Acts in the chapter 2.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all gathered together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them.
Wow. Yes. Wow. Of course, there's more in that second chapter, which talks to us about the first action of the church. But we'll get to that in a minute, because that's all coming out of intimacy with God.
Right.
You know, to receive the Spirit of God is a very intimate gift that God gives to his people so that we can be in his presence. We can know what he would have us do. But it's also critical for the church to be the church.
Right.
To recognize the gift and seek the gift of the Holy Spirit. And so, you were talking earlier, it's something that came to mind, that came to your mind when we were discussing this, that happened to hinge on the issue of intimacy. And I'm just going to ask you to speak about it.
Intimacy?
Yeah, and the intimacy with God and the coming of the Holy Spirit, the birth of the church.
Well, the birth of the church is, when David and I were talking about this, the birth of the church is the development of the body of Christ. And we were talking about the fact that these were a loosey-goosey band of guys and ladies that were following Christ. And with the intimacy of the Holy Spirit coming upon them and into them, they were now all joined together.
Amen.
And something that I say to folks as I'm working them through the steps, sometimes painful steps, of coming to Christ and coming to the cross, is that when they have their moment of intimacy, I don't save anybody. David doesn't save anybody. Only Jesus saves. And the Holy Spirit is waiting. And when I bring these people to the cross, I back off. Hands up in the air, I back off, because they need to have their intimate moment with Christ where they can either accept or deny. That's not up to us. It's not David's power, my power. It's the power of the Holy Spirit entering them. And in that intimate moment, it's just the two of them in the universe.
Yes, yes.
Just the two of them. And we've all had that moment. It's a powerful moment, because the rest of the world has gone silent. It's just you and the Holy Spirit. And that's a gift. It's a loving gift of God to place that Holy Spirit indwelling inside of you.
There's the wonderful contrast that we're getting in the first and second chapter of Acts, though, points to, again, I want to talk about today. I want to talk about the state of the church in, let's say, America, because that's where we live, but
it
could also be Europe and other places in the world, where there are two distinct types of folk that go to church.
Mm-hmm.
The first group goes, and if you're hearing yourself in this description, then that's a good thing, even though not make you feel guilty, because we're not here to do that.
No, we're not.
But if you're hearing yourself in this first description, then it would be wonderful for you to go to the Lord and ask him to help you move over to the second group, which I'm going to talk about. But the first group of people go to church out of a sense of duty. And maybe they pick that up from their parents.
True.
Probably most parents do pass that on. And, you know, if they go to church, but they're just physically present in the building. There's
going through the motions, so to speak.
Going through the motions, you know, and some do pretty good at that, you know. Mm-hmm. And some churches have a lot of motions to go through, you know. but at the end of the day, there's nothing happening in their lives. They don't have a close personal relationship with the Lord that when they go to church, they're worshiping.
No, they feel like they've punched the clock, so to speak, punched
right.
in, punched out. And I got to tell you, David, when you brought that up, I thought of this church I was in once where folks were doing just that and they were leaving early.
Yeah.
And the pastor put a mosaic up over the exit sign of an apostle. And you didn't know who the apostle was till you got closer. And the sign said, Judas left early, too. I love that. And it was
That's
just
great.
A little dig, but
yeah.
You're right. There's people that go out of obligation,
right.
not out of love.
But now, if you're one of those people and you're hearing this, I'm not going to expect most of you to decide to turn your lives around because of what we just said.
Mm-hmm.
For you to understand that there's something more going on than just going to church. I think it was a quote from an old-time 19th century evangelist. It's always attributed to Billy Sunday, but then it's also been attributed to Billy Graham. But that is, you know, going to church doesn't make a Christian any more than going to a garage makes you an automobile, you know? And the point is that when you read the scriptures about what the church is all about, it's not about duty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yes, we have to be responsible. We have to make commitments to the Lord. We have to seek His guidance and all that, but no, it's deeper than that, because you can, if you have a sense of duty, there's no intimacy in that. There's mm-hmm. no, you know, here's another thing. Jesus said to his disciples, you know what? You can call God daddy. You know, some people probably fainted in me hearing me say that.
Yeah, head for the
but
hills.
He said, Abba. He said, call him, you can call him Abba. Now, Abba is a young Jewish child. Would call their father Abba.
Abba. Mm-hmm.
It means daddy. Now, think of daddy as opposed to father.
It's very informal and very
intimate. Right, exactly. Jesus, throughout his ministry, he never let his disciples ever wonder of the character of the relationship mm-hmm. he wanted them to have with him and with his father.
This was a whole new deal. This was something that was radical.
Yep.
This was a radical thinking.
So back to the day of Pentecost.
Yes.
Then where do we get this intimate thing? Well, think for a minute. What happened is the Holy Spirit literally came into their lives.
Mm-hmm.
The Spirit was given. The tongues of fire is a sign of God's work. It's God's power. Fire in Scripture is God's power. It's cleansing. It's, you know, all that. But the Spirit of God came into them, became a part of them. God gave the rich gift of himself to them. You cannot get any more intimate
than that.
And so this is the wondrous thing. And it just changes. And we see, well, what happened? Barry, we were talking about this earlier. Barry had a great vision of once the Spirit came. And what did the Spirit of God, what happened to these people?
They were utterly changed.
Yeah.
If you want evidence of that, think of what Peter did prior to all this. He was up and down. He was unpredictable. He was irrational. Just a blue-collar guy with a little bit of a temper on him. And then what we see here is a man about to go out and speak to the people in a way in which they've never been spoken to before.
Yes.
You know, I'm gonna pull the curtain back a little bit. David and I pray before each show that we decrease while the Lord increases.
Amen.
And that his words come out to all of your hearts, all of your lives. This is exactly what happened on Pentecost. I don't know who Peter is that day, but he's not the Peter we knew before.
No.
Utterly changed. And they all were. And
they all were.
Because they were of one accord.
Yep, they were.
They were connected.
Think of James and John for a minute. Just another two characters that we see,
mm-hmm.
you know, before the day of Pentecost and before Jesus was arrested. And they were just kind of traveling around, you know, right. Israel and Galilee, Palestine, whatever. And these guys had egos about the size of Rhode Island, you know. I mean, you know, when they, one of them, I forget if it was James or John, was saying, oh, Jesus, tell us we can sit on your right hand when you go into your the kingdom.
Yes.
You know, like, man. And they sent it to their mother one time.
Yeah.
Just to make sure to be a crowbar, you know, to get Jesus to do what they wanted. And then the other disciples were upset. We read in the Gospels that one day they were trying to figure out who was the greatest.
Yes, they were grumbling.
They were grumbling.
That's right.
So, you know, that tells us, man, they suffered from pride and arrogance.
As we do
today. As we do today. I mean, yes, I have stories, but we don't have time for me to tell them. So.
No, no. But we open up the Bible and we see people and say, well, I want to be that guy or I'm this guy.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. It's a mirror.
It is, yeah.
You're looking at yourself here.
Yeah.
But that's a good thing, because if you're looking at yourself and comparing the way you were prior to Christ and after you received the Holy Spirit, wow.
Wow.
You look back and you think, whoa, I was quite a goofball.
God put me together.
That's right.
He's still doing it because...
Well, it's an ongoing project.
The baptism of the Holy Spirit, it doesn't perfect us. Let's keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
My wife will be the first to tell you.
Mine's right.
She's right.
Yes, she is.
But I can see how the hand of God in that intimate relationship with Him, as I've been invited to come into the throne room and to be with Him.
Right.
Sometimes Abba, you know, to sit in His lap. Ever thought of that?
Mm.
3-year-old child comes and jumps in Daddy's lap.
Mm-hmm.
That's the image that Jesus wants us to have. To be able to walk into the throne room in prayer and just jump into God's lap. And, I mean,
that's powerful stuff.
There's no blasphemy in this because Jesus invited us to do it. If you don't believe me, go to your Gospels and read it.
Time to open the Bible again.
Time to open the Bible again.
Mm-hmm.
But so the day of Pentecost is probably, again, one of the greatest biblical references to how the power of the intimacy of God. Again, I said the Spirit of God comes in to them and becomes a part of them.
Right.
You know, and they were given clues because in when John recorded Jesus talking about the vine and the branches, you remember mm-hmm. that?
Right.
He says, abide in me as I in you. No, remember what he said, the word abide?
Mm-hmm.
And then he talks about no branch can survive on its own without being part of the life-giving from the roots.
Because it lives inside you.
It lives inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
And the word abide literally means to live within.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we abide in our home here in Palm City. We live within it.
Yes, we do.
You know, I mean, I have to leave it on occasion, but
right.
Generally when we sleep and eat, we're in our home. Abide, Jesus meant that. So, you know, if you've been in denial about this, for the longest time, you have no grounds to stand on, okay? But how critical it is. So the day of Pentecost, and the Spirit of God came into these disciples, totally changed them. They hit the streets. They preached the gospel. We know 3,000 people.
In one day.
That day, one day.
That's right.
Came to Christ. So we had 120 people that became the church when the Spirit fell on them. Then the Spirit drove them out into the streets, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then the same Holy Spirit fell on all of these people. 3,000 of them resonated with received the gospel, received Jesus as Lord and Savior, okay? And so the birth of the church, and, well.
And it hasn't stopped.
It hasn't stopped. It continues, and it's continuing to go all mm-hmm. over the world. And this is why it's critical, why we're here talking about this, why it's...
Well, by the way, David and I are smiling a lot, too, because you've got to get excited about this.
Yes, you do.
You know, this Bible wasn't meant to be whispered. It's meant to be shouted.
Amen.
Let's get excited about this, my brothers and sisters. Let's get excited.
And this is really, especially today, you know, part of our... We shared with you in our first program, the vision of doing this program was in part to... provide to edify the believers who are struggling with what's going on today.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm sure many of you probably already know a lot of what we talked about in terms of the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Spirit. You undoubtedly have the Holy Spirit, and that's wonderful,
mm-hmm.
you know. And that from that, you know, may I pray that well, here's what I know. I'll speak from my own testimony. This is a testimony.
Bring it, David.
Here it comes. It's coming. that I continue to see new things, new to me, not to God or to other people, but new to me about the deepening of my intimacy with God through prayer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm learning more about prayer. You know, now I was never touted as being one of the spiritual giants of 20th and 21st century Christianity. So, you know, I'm just a regular guy.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just telling you that there is nothing, you haven't learned it all. I don't care how old you are, how long you've known Jesus. I mean, if you're 110 years old and you received Christ when you were 10, and so you've been at this, you know, for 100 years, there's still stuff to know.
There is
but
still
today,
stuff.
Mm-hmm. In this time, in this world, we have to take what God gives us and use it. We have to gain these understandings of what it means to be a Christian and apply them now.
Now.
You know, we don't have the luxury of time, I don't think.
Well, we've been saying over and over, you should preach this gospel with a sense of urgency.
Yes. Yes.
If I can share with you a quick story, David.
Please.
I witnessed this. I'm going to witness now, too. I work in the healthcare field. I'm a chaplain with the elderly, and I won't go into that right now, but I did have a resident who was 94 years old, a Pentecostal lady, who carried her Bible in her wheelchair everywhere she went. And I watched her, even in her advanced years, jump from her wheelchair and pray with joy, with tears of joy coming down her face.
Yeah.
And she was bringing people to Christ, while others younger than her in the nursing home were bemoaning the fact that they were sick, ill, aged, and just wanted to die. Whereas this woman clearly got it. She had this intimate relationship, and she listened to every single thought and word that the Lord gave her. In fact, when she was called home, the day she was called home, she called the nurse in the room, and she asked for her Bible from the side table. She put her hand on it. She said, "I have always been joyful. I've been fulfilled in following Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit's got me this far, and I believe the Holy Spirit's bringing me home. And I pray that everybody who knows my story will know that I went home to the Lord full of the Holy Spirit and joy." And she passed away.
Wow.
That morning.
Man.
And that was an example for the nursing staff, because, like I say, this is not happening in a vacuum. There are people watching and learning. The people in the streets that David just talked about, they were curious. Who are these people leaning out the window, yelling at us up there? Who's that guy? Oh, that's Peter. We know about him. But the joy ran through that crowd, the promise of God, and the intimacy for each and every one of us. And it's still available.
Yep.
Like we say, you know, if you're living a life on the fence and you're thinking about this, try and imagine the joy and the purposeful living and the presence of God in your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
Amen. And that's really the, you know, the key is that get moving.
Yeah, get moving.
You know, I mean, come on, folks. We've had plenty of time. We've had decades to sit on the fence. You know, and as painful as that can be,
it depends on what kind of fence.
Depends on what kind of fence,
but they're all painful. Dude.
They're all kind of painful, you know. And so, but it's now time to move. God is moving, and truly, you know, and what many people, including Hilgen Barry and I, have been hearing from the Lord is, you got to get moving, you know, or you're going to get left behind.
Amen.
And God doesn't say that with any joy. And I don't say it with any joy, but it's true, because God is going to give his favor to Christians and churches that are moving and serving him today, alive in the Spirit, listening to what he has to say, becoming intimate with him, so that we can hear him speak to us.
Spirit-led, Spirit-fed.
Spirit-led, Spirit-fed. Amen.
Amen, brother.
Brother Barry, we have a couple of minutes left before we have to say goodbye. I would ask you, would you lead us in prayer?
I would love to.
As a close.
Holy Father, Abba, we come to you today And we are grateful for the opportunity to serve. But that's just David and I, Lord. We're praying for all the world, that they come to you with their palms up to receive blessings and their hearts open to receive the living God, the Holy Spirit, that he will direct their life, and that they will find a place in the kingdom of heaven in their forever life. Holy Father, make these people courageous. Make them convicted in their heart, and make them know that they are never, ever alone, and that they are always receiving guidance, promptings, urgings, and direction from this beautiful Holy Spirit that we spoke of today on the day of Pentecost. God bless you all, and God bless you, David.
Oh, well, thank you.
Amen.
And bless you, Barry. You know, we enjoy doing this. It's such a thrill for us.
Yes, it is.
We hope it is for you. If you have any comments or questions, you can call the radio station. They'll make a note. That's 888-221-8990. That's 888-221-8990. And we'd just love to hear from you, let you know that this is meaningful to you. And as I said last week or the week prior, if you have any ideas, things you'd like for us to pursue, scripture you'd like for us to unpack, give us a call. Or you can also write to Glorious Day, care of, that's at WCNO at WCNO.com. Until next week, my brothers and sisters, be blessed, full of the Spirit, love and enjoy the intimacy that you have with God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Join us again next Sunday at 5:30 a.m. and 5:30 p.m.
Diving deep with us into God's holy word,
that we might all be encouraged, strengthened, edified,
and receive renewed hope that the Lord is on the move
and his perfect plan is unfolding in our time.